we live in a messed up, ungodly world. Things are happening around the world and in our country that bring about anxiety for us. These matters may cause us to think, say, or do things that are inconsistent with God's will. But hopefully this sermon will help us to look upward, as Danny talked about this morning, and transform our mind that we might be pleasing to Him. With that said, I want to go ahead and look at a few scriptures before we get started in the lesson this morning, and just to remind us of what we're here for and what God's Word does for us. Romans 15 verse 4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." They were written for us to learn from and to bring us forward into our lives that we live today, and things that are spoken of in God's Word. And that through the patience and the comfort, we might have hope. Galatians, the third chapter, beginning in verse 24, Paul states, "Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." And so faith has come. We're no longer under that old law, but we're under a new law. And when you look at Matthew, the 17th chapter, in verse 5, Peter, James, and John at the Mount of Transfiguration states in verse 5 that while Peter was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice out of the cloud came saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And so they've turned their attention that God says, look, you hear him. He is going to be the one that's going to lead you going forward. John, the 14th chapter, beginning in verse 5, when it says that Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And then Jesus said this statement. He said that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so how are we going to reach the Father? How are we going to reach our goal and go into heaven? It's through Jesus, and it's Him that we need to follow, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Peter, writing in 1 Peter 1, verse 14, he says, "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance," he said, "but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." And if you were in class this morning, as Danny wrapped up his lesson on beginning in Romans 12, he said that was a transformation is for us to look upward. And that's what we hope to do today as we go through this. But from what book is that statement, "be holy, for I am holy," quoted? Some of you may know this, most of us probably do know it, but it comes from the book of Leviticus. And when we look at it, the book of Leviticus a lot of times doesn't get studied because it seems to be too tedious, too detailed, and we're saying, look, that was for them, it's not for us. But when you look at it and you read through it, you see how painstakingly God wanted them to do things that would make them holy in His sight, because He is a holy God. And it provides us with a portrait of the ugliness of sin in the presence of a holy God. And sometimes I wonder, is that, do we really understand what sin is? Do we see it for what it is? Because things don't happen to us like it happened to them under the old law. And so do we need to see the ugliness of sin? And I think the book of Leviticus helps us to see that and recognize it. It also helps us to understand why God wanted His people to be holy. He wanted them to be holy because He is holy. They were His children. He was the one that brought them up. So how would you define holy? If you had to sit down and write down right now, what is holiness to you, or what does it mean to be holy? How would you define it? It's defined in two different ways through God's Scripture. It says that something or someone that is separated or sanctified. And as we go through this lesson, we'll understand and we'll see what those words mean. And it's also is dedicated to serve and fulfill the word of God. That's what God wanted them. He wanted them to be separated. He wanted to sanctify them, and he also wanted them dedicated to serve and fulfill his word. So the question is, did God really expect his people to live holy lives? Did he? The answer is, the question is revealed in the following verses from Leviticus. And there are six verses that we're going to look at that relate to this statement that God made to the children of Israel. Leviticus, the 11th chapter and verse 44, the beginning of that verse, he says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourself." And one to consecrate oneself is that you need to set yourself apart for the Lord. And that's what he wanted. He wanted a people that would be set apart for him, that would serve him. And he says, "And you shall be holy, for I am holy." Leviticus 11, the next verse says, "For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." They were in the land of Egypt in bondage for 430 years, and God was going to bring them up. And when you look at it, Egypt should have represented to them bondage. Just like sin today is bondage. It's what we're in bondage, but God found a way to bring us out of bondage, the bondage of sin, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Leviticus 19, verses 1 and 2, he says, And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy." It's interesting, he didn't just say, "Speak to the priests and say this." He didn't say, "Just speak to Moses," to these specific people. He says, "Speak to all the congregation." This is going to pertain to all of you. And therefore, he says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy." And then in Leviticus 20, verse 7 and 8, he makes the same statement. He says, "Consecrate yourselves. Therefore, be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord your God who sanctifies you." In other words, sets you apart. And so first in the beginning, he says, consecrate yourselves. You set yourself apart for the service of the Lord. But now he comes back, he says, "I'm the Lord God who sanctifies you. I'm the one who sets you apart." And so God wanted them to be holy as he is holy. Leviticus 20 and verse 26, he says, "And you shall be holy to me, no other gods but to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples or the nations that you should be mine." If you remember that this was a promise that God made to Abraham, and now this promise is being in the process of being fulfilled. He says, "I separated you from the people, from all the nations on the earth, all the nations of the earth, I set you apart. You're my people. I want you to be holy just as I am holy." In Leviticus, the 21st chapter and verse 6, he gives specific instructions to the priests. He says, "And they," the priests, "shall be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God. For they offered the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God. Therefore, they shall be holy." And one of the things that we'll talk about as we get a little bit further into this is these were instructions for the priest that they needed to be holy, that they were the intercessory between God and the people. God wanted them to be holy because they were going to make offerings for the people. And so they needed to be holy. And we're going to find out that later on, that we find that we are a royal priesthood. And therefore, we need to take these examples that were given and instructions that were given under the old law and just look at how it affects us and our service unto God. So it's also a book that helps us understand what it means to serve the living God who calls us to be holy. And so as we go through this, just ask yourselves a few questions. I look at it and I'm going like, am I living a holy life? Am I living the way that God wants me to be? The next question is, are you living a holy life? Only you can answer that. And then the next one that kind of ties back to that congregational question that he says, I want you to read it to the whole congregation, is that we as the children of God in this locale, this church, are we living holy lives? Are we living and treating each other like we should? Are we worshiping God in the manner in which we should? Are we being holy in our conduct and our worship to Him? Next question is, if not, why not? Have you ever had a child or daughter or somebody ask you, says, why didn't you do that? Well, and he says, well, if not, why not? If not, why not? Why is holiness missing in our lives? Why is it missing in your life and my life? It's maybe because we don't truly understand what God did for us by offering Jesus Christ on the cross. And that may just be that we just don't know. We haven't thought about it. Maybe it's not that important to us. But we really need to understand. The Hebrew writer stated in chapter 10, verse 9, beginning, he says, then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. And that's what Jesus did. The scriptures teach us that he said, look, I come to do your will, not mine. He said he takes away the first that he may establish the second. And by that will, the will of God, we have been sanctified. God has separated us from this world. And therefore, we need to be holy unto him. He says, that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And therefore, God made us a way that we could be returned to him, that we could be holy through the gift of his Son. Why is holiness missing in our lives? Maybe we love this present world too much. Maybe we do. There are things that just pull at us and tug at us, and next thing you know, we give way to those things. 1 John, 2nd chapter, and again, verse 15, says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And therefore, there are things that happen. There are things that tug at us each and every day. And it may be as a result, as Danny was talking about this morning, it may be because of our socioeconomic status. You know, it may be because there's things that we just feel like we need to have, and therefore we'll do anything and everything to get them. Or maybe it's just we've been blessed with too much. When you look at us as a customer, we have been blessed with a lot. And I think sometimes that people get blessed so much is that they tend to forget about God. They rely upon themselves. And therefore, we have to remember is that don't love the world, because that's not where we are going. Our striving is to be with God the Father in heaven. And why is holiness missing in our lives? Maybe we don't view others, ourselves, maybe we don't view ourselves as strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Ephesians, Paul said in chapter 2, verse 9, he says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Some of us may have traveled to foreign countries. And while we go to that country, we're not a citizen of that country. We're a citizen of the United States. And so we have to abide by the laws of that country in which we are visiting. But when we come home, then we have a whole new set of laws because we're citizens of this country. I can't go to that country and make myself a citizen of that country just because, oh, I'm here. I think I'll be a Greek today, a Spaniard tomorrow. We have to fulfill and meet those laws that country sets aside. And sometimes I think that we forget this. We get so wrapped up that we're Americans that we really forget that we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's where our citizenship lies. We're just visiting here. Our view should be that we are pilgrims and sojourners here. A lot of people say that this country is a godly country. The scriptures don't say that. If you look around at what we talked about at the very beginning, if you look at things that are happening at this country and you look at how people talk and treat and act with each other, do you think that's how God would have this country to act? No. And that's true. Like what happened last night. So when you look at what's going on around us, our citizenship is in heaven. We serve a heavenly king. And so let us remember that. Just like we go to visit a foreign country, we're really visiting here in this country because our citizenship is in heaven. Why is holiness missing in our lives? Maybe our priorities are misplaced. We all set priorities in our lives every day when we get up. And we say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. We might have short-term goals, we may have long-term goals, but we set our priorities based on what we want rather than what God wants. But Matthew, the sixth chapter, Jesus said, look, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus is setting our priorities for us. If we're going to be holy, as God is holy, then we need to seek his kingdom first. Everything that we do should be motivated by his words and his righteousness. And why is holiness missing in our lives? Maybe living our lives sacrificially, and we talked about this in Danny's class, maybe living our life sacrificially is beyond what we consider holy and acceptable. Maybe that's just too much. I think this is all I need to be holy and acceptable to God. This is my sacrifice. This is what I'm willing to do. Paul writing in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and we've been going over this through this study on Sunday mornings. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And therefore, God dictates what we should do. And we do need to be pleasing to him, and we need to live our lives as a living sacrifice, one that praises him and one gives him the glory, and we live holy as he is. And then why is holiness missing in our lives? Maybe our eternal souls have no value to us. That's the thing that we have sometimes, is we don't see that our soul is all we have that will be eternal. Matthew, the 16th chapter and verse 20, he says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I heard something that I thought was really interesting one time, as he said, look, when we see people, we need to see souls. We don't need to see the color of their skin. We don't need to see their nationality. We don't need to see and understand where they come from, whether they're rich or poor. But we need to see souls. And if we truly understand that, and that God sent his son to die for everyone, then maybe we will look at our own souls and the souls of others differently. And therefore, we need to value what you and I have, what we wear. It's not going to last. As Maria and I talk about it, and she'll remind me, is, look, we can't take it with us. A lot of people have tried. There used to be a bumper sticker that says that he who dies with the most toys wins. Wrong. But that's the way that some people live their lives. So how do we correct this situation when we know we are living unholy lives? How are we going to correct it? We can't do anything in and of ourselves to make it change. But we must restart our lives to repentance and begin living holy lives. We can't be living unholy lives and then just say, okay, I'm just going to change. There has to be a change of mind. We talked about it. It says, look, God's word says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And therefore, it's going to take a transformation within our own minds and our hearts of what we need to do to be pleasing in your sight. And so we need to restart our lives through repentance and begin living holy lives. 1 John 1, beginning in verse 80, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But John goes on, he says, but if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We get to start over with a new slate. And so he says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Some people say, well, I've sinned so much, God can never forgive me. Nobody can forgive me. But I want to remind you and I want to remind me is that God took that excuse away from us. When Jesus presented himself to Saul at that time, he took all that stuff away from us. Think about all the things that Saul did and then was converted, and then think what he did afterwards. Think about what he said. He says, forgetting those things which are behind, I look forward, I move forward. And therefore, if you think that God can't forgive you, Paul said, look, I forget those things. I have a goal that I need to achieve. And therefore, he's taken that excuse away from you and me, thinking that God can't forgive us of our sins. To correct an unholy lives, we must eliminate the works of the flesh from our lives and replace them with the fruit of the Spirit. Before I get there, I always like to think about this and tell people is that God doesn't tell you or me to take something out of our life without giving us something to put in its place. And that's the wonderful thing about God, is that's how we're going to be holy, is that we're going to get rid of all the unholy thoughts and things that we do, and we're going to replace them with the things that he says. Galatians, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. And then he goes on to list 18 things, and if those weren't enough, he says, and the like. All those things that he lists in chapter 19, 20, and 21, those are things that we need to get rid of. Because then he goes on, he says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We need to understand this, we need to believe it, that if we're carrying that baggage and we want to continue carrying that baggage, we're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But then he goes, he says, look, you get rid of that and you put this in its place. You put the fruit of the Spirit in its place, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. When you look at what God wants us to be, as being a holy people to him, look what he wants for us in our lives. Think what kind of life, if we can fill our lives with love and joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, just think how much better our lives are and how much better they will be. But sometimes we just get focused on this day and this time and what's going on with us and poor me and I'll never get through this, rather than putting it in God's hands and letting him take over. And he says, against there is no law. There's no law against all these things. To correct an unholy life, we must realize that without pursuing holiness, no one will see the Lord. This needs to be embedded in our minds, and I think sometimes people have said this in class, and you've heard it before, is that sometimes we need to put this little sign on our mirror in our home, in the bathroom, or in a hallway, or whatever, that says, without holiness, we're not going to make it. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 14, he says, pursue peace with all people. God wants us, and he asks for us to pray for the government, that we may live peaceful lives. And he tells us, this is the kind of conduct I want you to have, is to pursue peace with all people. But then he says, and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue holiness, for without it, no one's going to see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God. And here's a warning for us, that we need to look carefully at our lives and what we're pursuing in our lives. To correct an unholy life, we must not live as the world lives, because we are not of this world. If we're not careful, we can believe all the advertisements that we see on TV, all these things that kind of just pull us, say, to be happy, you need to wear this, drink this, you need to do this, you need to own this car, you need to live here, and you need to live in this house. Those are all worldly things. They're temporary in nature. They're not everlasting. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning verse 17, Paul tells him, he says, look, Corinthians, he says, come out from among them and be separate. Be separate from them. You've got to be a different people. You can't live as they live, because they're not living lives that are acceptable to God. Do not touch what is clean and unclean, and I will receive you. Come out and be separate. Think about the book of Leviticus. Think about the old law. Think about the children of Israel. What did God want them to be? When he sent them into the land of Canaan, he says, I'm going to give you everything, a land flowing with milk and honey, but you got to do these things. But what did they not do? He wanted them to come out and be separate. He wanted them to be a distinct people, a holy people before him. But we've been studying on Wednesday nights here in the Old Testament and going through Kings and Chronicles and looking at the prophets. We can see time after time after time that God's people, it wasn't satisfactory to have what God gave them. They wanted to have what the nations had around them. And therefore, they never separated themselves, really. There was a handful that would. But for the most part, they were like blind leading the blind, like a sheep following some shepherd that's taken them off or down a wrong path. But he says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to come out from the world and be separate from the world. And he wants us to be a clean people. Because if we're a clean people, he'll receive us. To correct an unholy life, we must live holy lives as children of light. We need to be lights in a dark and dying world. 1 Peter in the 2nd chapter in verse 9, he says, because you are a chosen generation. Now think about these as we go through this, and think about the children of Israel. Think about what we were talking about and what's listed in the book of Leviticus. And think of all these things that he said. Don't you see them in the book of Leviticus? He says, you are a chosen generation. God chose them. God chose him out of all the nations of the world. God chose him. But he says this, Peter says, look, we, you, those who have been obedient to the gospel of Christ, you are a chosen generation. God is your God. Then he goes on, he says, you're a royal priesthood. We talk about that in Leviticus, that God wanted his priest to be holy. And what he's telling us here is that Peter's saying, look, you're a royal priesthood. Act like it. Offer sacrifices acceptable to God. Be a living sacrifice. And you're a holy nation. We need to be holy because we are a holy a nation amongst a godly, ungodly world. We need to remember that we are a holy nation, or at least we should be. And then he goes on, he says, his own special people. Does that make you feel good? Have you ever had a son or a daughter or a grandchild and you go like, you're special. You're really special. But that's what he says. Peter says, his own special people. And why? We are all these things that we may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We were living in darkness until Jesus came. Until we obeyed the gospel of Christ, we were living in darkness. But now we have a God who's ushered us into his marvelous light. And to correct an unholy life, we must imitate Christ in our daily lives. And that's one thing that we need to think about, is every day that we get up, who am I imitating? Am I imitating Christ? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter, he says, imitate me. He didn't just say, imitate me. But he makes this statement. He says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. In other words, if you don't see Christ in me, don't imitate me. But if you see Christ in me, imitate me, because I am imitating Christ. And so we need to all do that. That should be on our mirror. And that, maybe that's what we put on our mirror. Imitate Christ today. And that should be what we strive for, is to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect and His Son is perfect. So in closing this lesson, I want you to kind of remember this statement, is that holiness is not a matter of chance. You're not going to become holy just by chance. But holiness, it's a matter of choice. It's something that you and I have to decide on our own. Nobody's going to make that decision for us. And that's what sometimes when we look at our children, our grandchildren, we want them to have their own faith. We want them to be holy. We don't want them to rely on our faith, our holiness. It's a false hope if we do that. So remember this. Holiness is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of choice that we can all make this morning. If you've never named the name of Christ, where are you? You're outside. You're in the darkness. You don't have God to call him as your Father. You're not a special person. You're not part of his chosen generation. You're not a part of the royal priesthood. So think about that. But what happens if you were walking in holiness? Or for whatever reason, maybe the cares of this world, maybe the riches of this world has captured you. And maybe it's taking you down the world. Maybe things have happened in your life and all you can do is feel, oh, poor me. Rather than turning and focusing on God and what God can do for you and for me, we rely on ourselves. And when things don't go our way, we just throw up our hands and give up. So if we can be of any assistance to you today, whether it's praying for you, whether it's your obedience to Christ, maybe it's your bringing yourself back home again, God wants us to be his children, but he's not going to accept unholy people. So if we can be of any assistance to you, please come forward as we sing this song of invitation.